Kopke on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at 4 on KBN.
Kyle, you're a real one. You my dog, Kyle.
Hoo.
That's from AJ in Baltimore. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman with you, KBN Nation, at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liss is more. I'm Ben Brust alongside Brad Nortman. And Alex Strofe is running the show. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Now, we've had a lot of conversation today putting the Packers in the light of, we know they're good. We know they have four games to continue to prove how great they can be. Will they win the division, be the two seed? Will they catch the number one seed? Where will they be? We'll find out together. But they're playing in a way where you can start thinking about what do they need to shore up in these 4 weeks heading in the playoffs so they can set themselves on a path to winning a Super Bowl. With the second best odds to win the Super Bowl, might I add. So when I hear stuff like this, people are buying in. We'll hear why on Freddie and Harry. Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio has the Packers at the top of his list.
For me, number one is the Green Bay Packers because of that elite defense. Jordan Love keeps playing like that. Josh Jacobs coming back has been terrific, helping out the quarterback, helping out the offensive line. They're starting to keep people away. And Christian Watson coming back. I know he's not a numero uno, but boy, he's acting like one. And boy, he's producing like one. All that together, Matt LaFleur, knowing that he's come close more than a couple of times when he had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. He has a more complete team now than he did with Aaron Rodgers. That is a team that you do not want to go play in Lambeau Field. The Rams are praying that they get the top seed. The Seahawks, teams like that are praying they get the top seed because if the Packers get it and you got going to January into the icebox, known as Green Bay, good luck to you.
That Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Harry, and Freddie had a lot of positive things to say about the Green Bay Packers. The thing that I am stuck on as I think back to the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers era is that complete team notion. Is this the most complete team that Matt LaFleur has had? 800-990-3776.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the easy answer. Absolutely, this is the most complete team. I understand that the offense isn't going to be humming at the same level that we saw under Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback.
But when you look at 2020 offense, man.
But that's what I'm saying is that when you say think of a complete team, you need to have a complementary defense. Aaron Rodgers was not Joe Barry, Mike Patton. Aaron Rodgers did not have the ability to have that, and that had nothing to do with it.
Oh, wait, actually, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead on Joe Barry. Strofe, that was the Mike Patton game against the Buccaneers.
And so it was.
Well, wasn't that the Kevin King game?
But ultimately it falls on him to make sure the personnel know you can't get beat behind you late in the half.
Yeah, that was Patton's final year.
And so my whole point is this, is when you look at offensively and defensively, this football team is there. Last year you kind of saw the defense had its spurts, but now you have a closer in Micah Parsons. So this is the most complete football team, and you see the offense absolutely hitting the stride. We talked about the defense being a bend-but-don't-break defense. They have continued to step up and rose to the occasion multiple times. And all three of the Packers' losses that they had this season, it was not the defense's fault. It was the offense. But now you see that the offense is playing well, and the defense is following up with that. And guess what you have? You have a multi-game winning streak where you done found yourself beating a Lions team that's the defending NFC North champions, and you found yourself beating a Chicago Bears team that is much better than what it was last year. And we will see if they can continue that momentum as they go against the number one seed in the AFC, a team that is on a 10-game winning streak currently down in Denver against a very, very good football team.
I'm in agreement to some degree that I don't think a team like the Rams or the Seahawks, the Rams especially, I mean, they're kind of built on flash and speed. I don't think they want to go to Green Bay and try to play the Green Bay Packers, which although
not this winter.
Not this winter especially. But the Packers, Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, the physicality of this defense, more built for cold weather than the Rams. So I think the Rams are very much trying to figure out how to keep that one number one seed. But to say this is the most complete team under Matt LaFleur, come on now. 2020 was the year. You had Aaron Rodgers, debatably his best season as a Packer. They had six All-Pros on that team. Six, including MVP Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. Let's not forget you had Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander, both all
in
pros
prime.
In their prime. So that defense, maybe not every single level was as good as this defense, but that defense was quite good.
You're right,
they're probably a top 10 defense, and that offense was just next level good. So that was the year to get it done under Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. 2019, 2021, both more flawed teams. That 2020 year was the most all pros that the Packers have had. Dating all the way back to like the 90s when, you know, the not even the Super Bowl year did they have as many all pros there. So regarding this year though, if the Packers get the number one seed, you get that first round bye in two games at Lambeau. Not only is not having the first game huge, and I know that there's discussion of, oh, is Lambeau Field true home field advantage? I promise you, nobody wants to go to Lambeau in January.
Yeah, when
and
you
play
think
there.
About it, it was one of those games where 2021, after the first 2 years, they went to the NFC Championship game under LaFleur. They had the number one seed, and it was special teams and the lack of offensive production, but really special teams that blew that game against the 49ers. And since I don't think the Packers have played at home in the playoffs.
I don't believe so, because
they won the division.
They didn't make
then.
The playoffs, and then all of a sudden they were seven seeds with Jordan Love as a quarterback.
2020, you could say that it was the COVID year in which there was, I think, maybe 10,000 people in the lower bowl with cardboard around against the Buccaneers, and then they got Raheem Mostert. I'm trying to make that a verb because it did happen. He went for 8,000 yards.
Verbal way on that one, man.
Imposed his will on that team.
And so, and then you go back to 18 and 17 where things started to fall apart in the McCarthy era. So, I'm kind of with Brad that I think it's easy to be like, well, you know, Lambeau hasn't been the mystique in January, but I don't think the opportunities have been there enough for us to say that it's not.
Yeah, and I think the big difference that you'll find this year is that these teams right here, when you look at them, it's different. You're talking about a Seattle football team that ain't won anything yet, right? Like, you're talking – it's different when you're looking at –
what did Sam Darnold do in the playoffs in the wild card round?
I mean, honestly, the team that would probably be the toughest test for you would be, if you're at one seed, would probably be the Philadelphia Eagles, because they're battle-tested, they've won a Super Bowl in the past, and they play in this type of weather. But I wouldn't trust Matthew Stafford coming out to Green Bay, the West Coast team coming to the Central Time Zone, and having to deal with that type of weather when they're just not accustomed to it. I wouldn't trust a Sam Darnold-led football team in a big moment like that. So I think when you look at all the other teams that have an opportunity, they're not as battle-tested based off who's on the roster right now to be able to come all the way out to Lambeau and compete. So I think the one seed is the most important it's ever been for the Green Bay Packers.
I think I want to dive deeper into this as a full discussion tomorrow, because we did want to get to it as we have more stuff planned today. But Joey does chime in timely. As you did mention, in 2020, the amount of all-pros that they had, with Jair being a big really,
he was great. Like, he was great
stud
in 2020.
In that year, are we looking at just Micah as an all pro on defense for the Green Bay Packers?
Well, the hard part is
it ain't any other defensive interior lineman.
I don't know if there is another all pro on this defense. And that's what's, and honestly, on the offense, I don't think Jordan Love's going to be all pro because you got Drake May and you've got.
Even outside of Love, right? Tucker Kraft had the potential to be an all-pro tight end. He probably was going to be an all-pro.
Yeah, he was getting very close, very, very close.
But outside of that, they have a lot of good players. Good to great. They don't have any elite guys outside of, if you want to say, Jay Love for this year, which we are accepting, and Micah Parsons.
Well, I think Xavier McKinney's going to be all-pro this year.
I don't think he will. What has he done statistically?
I mean, sometimes it ain't always about stats. It's about how much respect teams have for you.
There's level of production.
Well, he's being productive, but when you don't have a lot of intercept, like Patrick Surtain is not going to have a lot of interceptions, and
but,
he was hurt this year.
He's a corner versus a safety.
But a safety that you say, oh my gosh, we respect that guy. We're not even going to attack
him. Yeah, but like
him.
The Bears definitely have one. Kevin Byard's going to be a first team All Pro. He leads the league in interceptions.
There's a narrative to the statistics, fair or unfair.
No, there is, but I also think, well, and I guess it's not other NFL teams that vote on it. It's
Jeff Ed says Edgerrin Cooper hasn't had that flash,
but
you know, turnover. He had the punch out that everyone can remember. It's bad when you can remember the big moments.
Yeah.
You want to get lost in the seven interceptions that McKinney had sort of thing.
It's one of those things that's so unique about this season and why Normally, if you were carbon copy this Packer team and put it in any other year, you'd probably say this is not a Super Bowl favorite. This is not a top four Super Bowl team. If you were to take the 2020 Packers and drop them into this season, into the 2025 NFL season, that 2020 Packers team would be far and away, head and shoulders, a Super Bowl favorite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This season lacks a truly great team, a truly elite team. Almost every other year you look back, you look at the Super Bowl matchup or anyone that was like a great team, like the 2020 Packers.
Look at the fall of the Chiefs. That's where you got to see.
Fall of the Chiefs, the stumbling of the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's
right
why
now.
The parity and the amount of openness to this NFL season of very flawed football teams from top to bottom is truly remarkable, and it leaves the door open for the Packers to really make some noise. Most years, this team would probably get to the divisional game, maybe top out in the NFC Championship game. This year, how it's structured with all teams being flawed, nobody being truly great, this Packer team has just as many good chances as any that makes the playoffs.
Bet in the 262. Packers win out. I'll phrase this as a question. Is Jordan Love all pro?
Yes. Absolutely is. Because they have, what, two all pro quarterbacks?
Yeah, just Drake May and Matt Stafford right now.
No, it would come down. It comes down to what happens
if
with
they get
Patriots.
The NFC one seed. How is he not?
Exactly
depends on how he
they only get the one seed if Jordan Love balls out.
Exactly, so Jordan Love will end up if they get the one seed.
If the Rams went out.
They'd be
the one seed. Well, and Matthew Stafford's stats are far
and
away better.
It's really hard to keep Stafford out.
Yeah, Stafford is going to be a first team.
Patriots need to fall off a little bit,
which is possible.
It is. It's certainly possible.
It's possible.
And
it's
you
possible.
Look at Drake May's number.
Buffalo?
They do this week. And Drake,
Buffalo, great defense. And my defensive stats, great defense.
Statistically looking at it, I'll say this. I don't watch the Patriots football,
nerd
but
man.
Statistically speaking, Jordan Love and Drake May statistically this year are very, very similar.
Yeah, they are.
So I mean,
the touchdowns to the interceptions for Stafford are very, very
ridiculous.
Great.
Yeah, I was just worried. I got like 35 touchdowns.
That's why even if Jordan Love wins out, it'd still be hard to keep him off. Yeah,
Stafford
the list
could be
the MVP. Body of work.
He should be the MVP.
And like half of that season without Puka. And now Puka's back. And
He still got Devontae Adams, who's an absolute beast in the red zone.
It's not like he's like putting up these 80 to 100-yard games. He literally had like 4 to 5 touchdowns that were all within the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
that's
wild. A good running back with Kyren Williams. Blake Corum, I think, went for dang near 100 yards last week.
You wish that the Packers signed Devontae, seeing what he can do now?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was stupid. It was stupid. I don't know. If it meant we couldn't get Micah, then fine. But like,
that's a good point.
You tell me Devontae Adams couldn't help this football team?
Mm.
You tell me you don't think Devontae could help bring a little bit of edge as well? Come on now. I'm somebody asked me that before. I said, I don't know what money would have said. If money says we couldn't get him because of Micah, then fine. But it all worked out.
It was a decision made before Micah. But I guess Goody behind the scenes was working Trey Hendrickson. And so he had a desire to get a top guy. So maybe that was it. Maybe he just knew he didn't have the budget for it.
Well, Kyle, I know that you pride yourself on being a great shoveler, but you also pride yourself on being inside your home and, you know, saying, it's doing really good in here.
I love looking out the window. Every morning I look out at the peak and say, it is snow. And today it sure did snow. But when I'm peeking out the windows, I'm peeking out my beautiful windows from Universal Windows Direct. Shout out to my boy Jamie Shea, because he's the one who came in and gave me the consultation almost about a year now from today. And he showed me my different options with my windows. And I said, boy, oh boy, I like this Jamie Shea. But more importantly, I love these windows. And I want you to have an opportunity to get windows that are fantastic from Universal Windows Direct. And right now you can buy two windows and get two free. And there's no limit and there's no pressure whatsoever to buy as well. And on top of that, you get 0% interest for 60 months. That's 5 years of zero interest financing, making it one of the most flexible payments plans you'll ever be offered. And because they are in the holiday spirit, KBN Nation, they have a bonus offer you can't not deny. A free vacation voucher with your project. Yep, you'll be improving your home now, and you'll have a future trip to look forward to in the future. Plus, Universal Windows Direct is letting you lock in your price for 2025 right now. Don't let winter wear you down. Call 414-410-2000 or go to UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate today. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the news. But does that mean that it's donezo or it's just rumors? You tell us. Plus, we hear from some of his teammates because he talked to the media and they kind of contradict what we'll hear from Chris Haynes coming up next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
800-990-3776. Say that again.
What a radio pro.
He's so...
Say that again. nobody said a word.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
If 2025 defined as pain in your joints, then 2026 will be defined by healing. And you can do that with QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics has a Greenfield and Mequon location. I've been to the Greenfield location. It's astounding to see all the tools in QC Kinetics toolkit to give you a pain-free life. If you're feeling the pain in your knees, your hips, your shoulders, or your back right now, then this is a sign that you need to give them a call and get your free consultation. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That means no surgery, no pain pills, no steroids, just the fact that they can use cellular treatments right into your joints to allow for recovery, lower inflammation, and pain to decrease all, giving you the opportunity to do the things you want to do. And as you're active this holiday season, you're probably reminded of it more that a gift that you would love to give yourself is a life of a pain-free existence. Well, QC Kinetics can give you that this holiday season and make 2026 your best year yet. So give them your free consultation because they will put you on a personal path to a pain-free life. Your free consultation and your new pain-free life is on the other side of this phone call to QC Kinetics. 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Bradley Nortman, Alex Strofe running the show. 800-990-3776 is where you can get involved on the Car Bliss Talking text line. An early KBN Sports Desk from Alex Strofe.
You know, sometimes you just say things that catch my eye, or my brain, rather, more so than my eye. Although I can't see you. You look very handsome today.
Thank you.
I just had a random question. Sometimes you intro him as Brad Nortman. Sometimes you introduce him as Bradley Nortman. Is that just a vibe
it's
thing?
It's just a feel thing.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I wanted to know. Go ahead. Proceed.
That's what you interrupted us for.
Alex Strofe, Strofe running the show. It's just
vibes.
Just to mix it up. I don't want to become stale.
You're never stale. You're Ben Brust.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't know if it was a compliment.
I'll take. You know what? In my brain, we're gonna take it. We're gonna put it in the compliment side of the brain, and we're just gonna move on. That's how we work around here.
You both are losers because you didn't like Braz here, Brad out today.
That's right. Kyle's a visionary.
I thought it was stupid. But it made me laugh to the point where I was crying.
I ran out of space to write all the light colors for all the things that you could do as a
restaurant
server.
This is a monumental moment in KBN history where Brad had an actual idea that is a good one.
Brilliant. It could make us all lots of money if we go ahead and invent it, sell it to these restaurants.
We'll see if you guys have good things to say that are impactful to make this even better of a show since you think Brad was so great.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like this guy's an investor.
Chris Haynes had a conversation on NBA TV about Giannis Antetokounmpo, what he thinks he heard went down in a conversation with teammates.
So with rumors going on, rumors swirling rampant right now on Giannis Antetokounmpo and his future, sources have relayed to me that Giannis Antetokounmpo addressed some of his teammates recently to stress the importance of focusing on basketball and not to allow outside distractions to interfere with the process at hand. And, you know, I was told that his point was that he's here at the time being wanting to get better, wanting to make sure he gets his game back on point, make sure he gets back from this injury. But he understood and he relayed the message that he can't control what goes on or what even happens to him. So obviously things are getting loud to a certain point where he felt like he had to address some of his teammates. So we shall see what happens from here on out.
That's Chris Haynes on NBA TV on the Giannis Antetokounmpo being hurt. His agent saying they need to come to a conclusion on what the future of Giannis in the next couple weeks is. Well, this report from Chris Haynes was asked to Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma's response was this: I don't really remember a time he met with us. He didn't sit us down like The Apprentice. It didn't go down like that.
Oh, somebody's lying.
Of course.
Somebody's lying.
Of course we know that. So and I'm at the point now where it's like, are we still in rumor season or are you actually worried about Giannis' future with the Bucks?
He didn't sit us down like that, like The Apprentice. That just going
I got an issue with this.
Over the top.
Go ahead. I got an issue with this.
All right?
Is it with me?
No. No, 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 no.
Take
you.
It.
No, Chris Haynes just said that Giannis told them to focus on ball.
I know.
And a guy that should be focusing on ball is clearly not focusing on ball and instead focusing on addressing the rumors.
Well, he said, and he said to process.
I'm irritated.
Oh, now you mad at Giannis?
Yeah.
Oh, Zeroff's turning on Giannis.
It's not that I'm turning on Giannis. Oh, I yes, love
you
Giannis.
This goes back to the Jim gave and Chewy poll. Are you fed up with the Giannis
situation? I'm fed up with the will he, won't he. Like, I would be happy had this happened. But clearly, it sounds like it didn't happen.
No, it happened. It does.
Because Kyle Kuzma's not focusing on ball. Had Giannis said focus on ball, I think he's focusing on ball and not addressing the rumor mill. And I'm just sick of it. Like, this team is still in the mix. Do I have hope they're going to win a championship? No. But they are still in the mix. Like, let's focus on ball. And by the way, let's also focus on, are you staying or are you leaving? Because make a decision one way or another. If I know you're leaving, great. I appreciate everything you've done. And then I know the answer. But it's like Rodgers and Favre all over again, these star athletes that had done so much for us and gave us so many memories. It's great. It's wonderful. But you can't go the entire season with everybody in that organization wondering, will he be here? Won't he be here? Is he committed? Is he not committed? I'm sick of it.
This was Kevin Porter Jr. when he was asked about the latest batch of reporting about Giannis and the Bucks. This is from Tuesday. This is the last thing I'm going to say on false information. At the end of the day, everyone needs to wait until Giannis says something because all of this is just he say, she say, and I guarantee that when we start winning, go 8-0, 9-0, you won't see nothing about the Bucks. You won't see, oh, the Bucks are 8-0, 9-0. They're flourishing, and Giannis is ... We're not going to see any of the positive news. So for at least for me, this is the last time I'm going to answer these anything false in this scenario. I got you laughing as I'm reading. What's going on?
Oh, somebody's making noise when you're reading. That's the first.
A report.
That's the first. Why did you say ...
Because...
That's why he was laughing at you.
Everyone understands when you're reading text. When you read a text and there's a ...
Yeah, but that's not what it means in journalism, Ben.
What does it mean in journalism?
... means like they are skipping ahead in the quote. Yeah. So they left out a middle sentence.
I didn't go to journalism school. I don't know that stuff. I don't know journalism.
It's not. He didn't verbally say ...
I understand that.
That is the transcriber leaving out. Maybe he said like an or he paused for a while. It's just a break in the.
Yo,
in
what
the
happens at this point of the show? This is exactly when yesterday I said that there's no East in Milwaukee. It's just Lake Michigan.
This is also when you said this might be true, but I don't know if it is.
But I was reading the quote and I was trying to be precise. And when I text people ... that's like a pause.
Frankly, I didn't think it was that bad, but Kyle was very amused.
I mean, have you heard somebody read a quote before ever in the middle of the quote when they're reading it? And Kevin Porter said he's looking forward to Giannis ... just getting back to basketball. What?
Did it sound ridiculous?
It sounded stupid.
It's like teleprompter type stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm Ron Burgundy, man. You guys know this, though.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Stroh, you're reading quotes from Twitter at this point moving forward, okay?
All right, do we have any more to read?
No, but I wanted to add more context to the Kuzma and KPJ addressing the Giannis rumors. Because apparently KPJ says they're going to go 8-0 or 9-0 when Giannis is back.
I hope he's right.
Listen.
These
rumors aren't going anywhere. KPJ might say, this is the last time I'm saying this. But he's going to answer more questions on it. Why? Because it's not going away anytime soon. So whether Giannis said something to the guys or he didn't, I don't know why Kuzma would have be dishonest about that. I mean,
Chris, dots from him.
Chris Haynes would report that something like that happened. But the reality is, this is the environment you're going to have to live off of. These guys are supposed to be pros, right? So if you're a pro, you're able to put the drama or the uncertainty of another teammate aside and go out there and
play. It's everywhere you look if you're in the NBA.
I get it. And that's
at some point, everyone cracks and says how they feel.
And that's why maybe I'm a little becoming slightly impatient with it, but I'm not where Stroh is, because the reality is this will be a franchise-changing trade and a league-altering movement if Giannis does change, and a career-changing move for him. So this means it's going to take a while. We better all get comfortable
with, you know, uncertainty and rumors and stuff.
Comfortable being uncomfortable.
This is a big, big, big deal. So this won't be fast.
I don't like it.
I know you don't. I told y'all. Giannis,
it'd be a slow
Mr.
process.
Positivity doesn't like that he can't be positive about the future of something.
I got hyperhidrosis of the underarms. My armpits sweat a lot when I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it.
Well, Giannis is leaving, and I'm telling y'all, Kyle Kuzma is not being very forthcoming.
Kyle Kuzma?
The quote, and I want Ben to read the quote again. And sure. Hopefully there's no dots in there. But he brought up, like, The Apprentice. He went a little bit too far.
All right.
Like, he took it a little bit too far.
Kuzma was asked about the report from Chris Haynes, his response, "I don't really remember a time he met with us, period."
Don't really remember. Okay.
"He didn't sit us down like The Apprentice. It didn't go down like that."
He didn't send us down
so
like that.
When it was described by Chris Haynes, it almost sounded like, Ben, if you could, like a team meeting. Like, he called a team meeting.
If we want to play Chris Haynes again, we can. But yes, my takeaway was
But Kuzma said that never happened.
Yeah, but Kuzma said it didn't go down like that.
So he probably just said,
"Hey, y'all, come here real quick. I know we're hearing a lot of stuff. Something just real quick, not like a full, hey, we're going to meet at this
team
time.
Meeting.
Maybe just like, listen, y'all, I hear there's a lot of noise. It might have been right before the game. Listen, there's a lot of noise. We got to block all that out. I'm here. I'm with y'all. We're going to focus on that."
And that's taken as to, whoa, Giannis met with the team because the future is uncertain.
But do understand the future is uncertain because neither of those guys said, they said, oh, KPJ said, oh, if Giannis ain't say it out loud, then it ain't happen. I'm telling you this right now.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, I'm going to tell you about Green Bay props and preview because it's presented by Sit Means Sit in the Green Bay game night with Homer and Tausch where they give out the dog of the game. Dog is presented by Sit Means Sit. You can have a happy, confident, and obedient dog, and it starts with a consultation with Matt's team at Sit Means Sit in Milwaukee or Waukesha. All you got to do is call to get a free consultation, or you can check out sitmeansit.com. Go to their Milwaukee and Waukesha pages, and you can have, like I mentioned, that happy, confident, obedient dog. Whatever you're looking for, they will have the consultation and get you on the right path. Time now for Alex Strofe to shine on KBN.
Oh.
Next.
Wheel of Strofe!
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Do you think...
Nope.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
This is the time of year you're putting up decorations, you're seeing more of the house, you're probably realizing all the things that need to get taken care of, whether it's a renovation or just a service project. Lifetime Home Services is the only location that you got to call to get those things done. Their menu of things that they can do for your house is expansive, it's exhaustive. Whatever you need, they can take care of. For us, it was custom closets. Custom closets for our new baby boy. His room is complete. There's a complete transformation, and it looks amazing from start to finish. It was a joy to work with Lifetime Home Services. But it doesn't just stop there. Cleaner air, radon safety, HVAC, full home renovations like basement or bathroom or kitchen. Could be organization, it could be cabinetry, epoxy floors for your garage, especially this time of year, you're probably wishing you had epoxy floors. Whatever it is, the one call you got to make is the Lifetime Home Services. Because for over 30 years, families just like ours have trusted Lifetime Home Services to make their home safer and better looking. Give them a call today and check them out online. Trusted Solutions, Lifetime Results. Schedule today at lifetimehomeservices.com.
How lucky is KBN Nation, man? On YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, listening on the ESPN Wisconsin app or in your car, wherever you're listening, you're going to be blessed with Alex Strofe on Kyle Bruston-Ortman giving you the Wheel of Strofe right now. Let's do it.
It's time for the
Wheel of Strofe.
Talk about an oversell.
You're right. I am now guilty of the oversell under deliver with that setup.
Another day.
My bad, everyone. Don't get your hopes
up. Excellent.
I
got a feeling today is going to be a banger by Kyle.
Oh wow.
Hey.
Pressure's on, Kyle.
Another day, another buck rooting.
Good deflection to your segment to make it about Kyle.
Time now for the Wheel of Strofe. I've got two topics today, maybe three, depending on how long the first
two take us. Dude, it hasn't landed on push-ups in a while.
That's okay by me. All right, here we go.
That's a good spin.
Really good spin.
Sounds like it's fixed, too. Man, it's going.
I told you, I put some WD-40 on that pocket.
Yeller! Oh, boy, that was close to red.
Let's talk about the maize and blue, shall we?
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I heard.
How about this
Wheel
news? It's big news. Michigan just fired their head coach hours ago, Sharon Moore, after 2 years at the helm, or 3 years at the helm, 2 years at the helm, right?
Two.
He was fired. I'm just going to read the ESPN byline.
Yeah, ESPN.
Michigan fired coach Sharon Moore for cause Wednesday after a university investigation that found, quote, credible evidence, end quote, he was engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Quote, this kind of constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and UM maintains zero tolerance for such behavior, athletic director Ward Manuel said in a statement Wednesday.
Mm.
Oof. What does that tell you, Kyle?
Gotta leave these women alone. Gotta leave these women alone. That's what you gotta do. You are a married man. It tells me that he saw them little young things walking around campus.
You said, don't know that.
A staff member. Yeah, there's a lot of staff members that are student staff members too.
Okay, now
that could be libel. Yeah.
This is accusations. I thought
you went to school for journalism.
I went to school for journalism, but I am a person, and I understand. I understand that. What Bobby Petrino, did he have one of these old ass staff members on his bicycle or his motorcycle, or did he have one of them young ones? It's always them young ones.
Lane Kiffin.
He probably liked the young ones. I forgot about that.
With Lane Kiffin.
Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer.
He was at a bar at Ohio State campus.
Ime Udoka?
I don't know.
She was a staff member.
I'm just bringing up staff member accusations others.
I guarantee you her age started with a two. It started with a two.
It's certainly common.
What you mean? These men are dogs. That's what they are. They're dogs. You think Sharon Moore got all this fame out of nowhere?
You're putting a lot of they out there. What are you?
I ain't no damn dog. I'm a nobody. I ain't no damn dog. I had my dog days. They behind me. I was a dog back in my 20s, not in my 30s. Taking man. I'm just saying. This man became the head football coach at Michigan. Every week, from a nobody to somebody.
Sit here and listen to this.
No,
this
for real. Think about it. He went from a nobody to somebody just like that.
Brett Bielema.
Oh, really?
Oh, Brett. But he wasn't married. He was just a floozy. Kidding.
Yeah.
You're going to let him talk about your coach like that?
Is that false, Brad?
Before he met his lovely wife, I think he had some fun.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He was at them bars talking to all them women back in the day, I heard.
Oh, was he a bar hopper?
But he was not married, and it was not with a staff member.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he was just being a young man.
Yeah.
I hate to ask this, because I don't know. I don't even know if I want to ask, but in the context of everything we're bringing up, a regular student's okay?
No, I would assume not.
He's at the bars. That's why I brought it up. But you made it seem like it's just like, he's at the bars.
I would assume it's the same rules as professors.
Fair enough.
He's probably
Wheel of Stroke.
Yeah, thanks for lassoing us into that stroke.
It's a fascinating situation.
Dang, he ain't gonna get paid $12.3 million. How you go home to your wife telling we ain't get paid $12 million?
He's not going home to his wife. His wife's leaving and getting half of that. All right, landed on green.
Oof.
Let's talk about green. Phillip Rivers, fellas, has signed with the Indianapolis Colts after 5 years off. He's 44 years old. The unfortunate news, though, is that Riley Leonard did practice full participant today, so I'm not certain that Phillip Rivers will play Sunday for the Colts. But Phillip Rivers is back in the NFL. He was a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. Now you got to reset that clock because he signed a contract.
He should have just signed Homer. They might as well just sign anybody off the streets. He's entirely too old. This is stupid.
Ten kids, Kyle.
I know.
He's got to get a paycheck, man.
This blast from the past. This is fun.
It makes me feel good inside.
Homer, you were really excited about this yesterday as Homer joins us in studio now, ahead of the Homer Hour coming up at 5 o'clock. You were really excited about the Phillip Rivers news. What excites you most about it?
Dude's got 10 kids.
That's old.
That's 1950s. So, he marries. I mean, these are the most life Catholics. There's a certain group that still exists. So they get married when he's a freshman in college.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
All right? And the best line ever was by Jim Gaffigan, the comedian who's 30. They've got like 5 kids. People are like, what are you thinking? He goes, let me just tell you real quickly. Uh-oh. There's no goalie. So 10 kids.
Oh, empty net, huh? So they pulled the goalie.
I love this tweet. This is from Sam Block. Phillip Rivers is back. The Patriots have 11 wins. The Cowboys are average. Joe Flacco is slinging it. There's drama in Philly. Matt Stafford is a stud. Seattle defense is nasty. Aaron Rodgers are the four seeds. The Browns and the Raiders are eliminated. Your childhood ain't over yet.
Yeah, it's 2014.
Well, wait, I want to mention that, like, they haven't had a kid in a few years. He's probably got so much free time.
I think his youngest might be a little old. Dang, she had a baby in her 40s?
They got 10. They got a grandkid.
So, J.J. Manson.
I think one of his oldest 22 is, like,
times
the quarterback's Riley Leonard's
She's
age.
Only a month older than Riley Leonard.
Wait, so you mean to tell me that the aunt and the kid, the grandkid's the same age as one of their kids?
Just about.
Oh, that's ghetto.
So in 2013, J.J. Janssen Pro Bowler.
Yes, it is.
It's Catholic. Catholic.
He was a Pro Bowler, and as like a thank you, he and his wife paid for me and Lexi to go to Hawaii with them. So he did the whole Pro Bowl week and all that.
Oh, wow.
And so Philip Rivers was a Pro Bowl quarterback that year. One of the nights they had like a luau, and they have all these big tables set up or whatever, 10-person tables.
He
had a whole table to himself. It's him and his 8 kids. Now 10.
Yeah.
Crazy. Philip Rivers.
That's a great story.
Isn't that wild?
That's a great story.
Homer, I'm surprised they stopped at 10.
Maybe they're not done yet. They're going to be celebrating
an
NFL
contract. How old
is
the youngest? 2, 3?
She's got to be. If they got married the freshman year, that means they're probably about the same age.
Yes.
Women's body at a certain point says no mas.
Thank you, Kyle.
Not hers.
Let's have Homer join us for Crosstalk.
They got a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Well, the dance floor specifically. I'm still sore, man. I dance my booty off.
But you don't have muscles.
You don't have a booty. So I don't know how you dance at all. You asked your back off. Your back.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Radio legend.
I don't care. I wanted to talk to Brett Musburger. That was for my own personal benefit. I hope other people enjoyed it, but I wish I was Brett Musburger. How about that?
Voice of Marquette basketball.
Jump went to the basket. Oh, wow. Dunks it. Hammer time.
And owner of the most famous catchphrase, at least in this building.
Oh, baby, that's sweet.
It's time for Uncle Homer on Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Joining us now is Homer before
Are
the Homer
Are you still
hour.
Going with the Packer defense was fatigued in the
yes,
second half?
Yes, 100%. Oh,
okay. All right, hold on. Let me just ask
Talked
this.
With Rob Domofsky about
yeah,
it.
I can't believe that it has this much shelf life.
When is Rob on
okay,
with you?
Okay, hold on. So the Packers get the ball, go 3-and-out, the Bears get the ball. Is the Packer defense tired?
Well, I mean,
but they're still professionals. Yeah, I mean, they're still a quality.
No, but I don't argue that. But this idea of being fatigued as part of the defense in the second half, you can't defend it. They gave up 8 points on the first possession of the Chicago Bears.
Well, yes, and that set the standard.
Oh, set the standard. But you can't say fatigue.
Yes,
when you give up
that drive after a 3-and-out, and then you go back out there, it's tough
and
to
hold
do.
On. After the second 3-and-out, they held them to a field goal. They actually got better the more fatigued they were. And after they gave up the long drive, okay, when they're really tired at the end. You know,
Homer.
Okay,
Homer.
Let me
Chicago
ask you this: in the second half,
Brad,
hold on, no.
NFL
All right, in the second half, you have 9 punts for 25 yards, and everybody says fatigue. Your first punt was 25 yards.
Okay.
How are you going to sell fatigue?
All right.
You don't always sell fatigue. I think the fourth quarter is characterized by fatigue, but this is also a quality offense. If I had a 25-yard punt, I would say, dang, my form
then
was bad.
Then don't ever bring up the fatigue.
Win.
Just
Homer,
say
maybe,
it was a good quality,
I'm just saying,
quality
Homer,
offense.
At the end of the game, when it mattered most, the offense or the defense looked
so
fatigued.
So you don't think it was a quality offense because you still call it embarrassing pathetic?
Given how good
Their
I think.
Offense
but
isn't
but
trash.
This is about... The concept of fatigue.
Were they sucking wind at all, Homer? Did you
what?
See, did you see them? Did it seem like they were a little bit sucking
there
wind there?
There was a play in which I saw the defensive line like gas.
Yeah, I mean, they might came off for a little bit. Too.
I would also say just
they
because
fine.
They
were
couldn't
on
the field.
Stop them when they were not gassed. You can't if let's say you shoot
correct because
then you can't bring up
it can
the fatigue
be both,
as an issue.
Homer. That's what you're failing to miss. It can be that when they had the drive after they went 3-and-out. Out of the half, They had a good offensive drive. And then a quick three and out doesn't help sending that defense out there.
The Bears scored after the Packers had an original three and out.
Correct.
So then you can't say they're not
tired. They scored fast after that, Homer, so they had to go back on the field.
Would you say that the defense was flying around, hitting very hard, and playing very well in the first
half? No, I'm only saying one thing. But you can't say fatigue as any factor at all when you couldn't stop them when you weren't tired.
But I would actually say they are tired in the second half.
At the beginning of the second half?
Yeah, they played a full half of football. Those half times are, what, 12 minutes? It's not like
this is the first I've ever heard in my life. In my life. The first series out of halftime.
30 minutes of physical football?
How long is halftime?
15 minutes.
Yes, 12 minutes.
That doesn't help.
12 minutes exactly.
Oh, that doesn't help.
Slightly, 15. But you go out there and you hit hard all first half. It's not the first drive of the game, Homer.
I concede. Yes. First series in the second half, after you dominated them in the first half, you didn't even actually play that much in the first half.
Homer, you do have to admit, there is something to the fact that had they had maybe a little bit bigger of a break between the first possession the Bears had in the first half and the second possession the Bears had
in the second half,
that maybe the defense would have had a little bit more time to get their energy back. But when you're back on the field that quickly, that's just natural. People's late.
Do you not believe that's why they wear on people getting tired? Yeah, they wear out on the field.
Two thirds of the second half. It's a question of a factor in hand. When you couldn't stop them when you weren't tired, and then you can't stop them when you're tired, you can't say it's about being tired.
Would you accept the fact that they're a good offense, that they're also going to score points?
It can be a combination
that you can
of both.
Say.
It's a combination of
and
both.
It's easier
so
to
Ben
execute.
Johnson's a smart offensive mind coming with adjustments out of halftime.
Fine. Then
so
that,
leading to a long
the
drive.
The fatigue has nothing to do with it. It's a good offense. They even things out.
And then when other teams execute when you're tired, you get sloppy. That's just what happens.
Why do you have to even say tired? It has nothing to do with it. When the offense is good, they're going to play better, and then you can't stop them.
Yeah, but I will say the way that, you get worn down, Homer.
Okay,
that's what people say.
Late in the game, the Packers had the drive, right, where they kept the ball longer. The one that went ahead for the touchdown?
Yeah, it was like four and a half minutes.
Right. And so in the first two of the next three plays for the Bears, they went 51 yards. That extra time helped the Packers' defense.
It's a different scenario, too. That is a different scenario in the late game situation with the clock and how they were managing
it. So then the rest. This is my whole point. Every time I bring up that you bring up rest, then I say it doesn't make sense. You then bring something else up.
It's not just like.
Correct, because that's how football works. Not every possession is the same way.
Don't bring up the rest because there's no evidence.
You can't tell me what I can bring up or not.
You can do whatever you want.
You would tell us not to tell you how to feel.
You can't defend the position.
It's not just like rest. Are we
you
sitting?
You listen to the position. That is what it is.
It's like a physical beatdown. This is like what Wisconsin used to do. Not necessarily time of possession, but you get hit over and over and over and over again.
So they then were tired. They were tired at the start of the second half. Then
Homer,
We're past that.
No,
that started.
I hear your show. You bring it up every
drive,
day.
After the Packers went three and out, started the Packers being on the field, which led to the overall, through the rest of the second half, them being out there longer than the...
But it put them on the field, but that doesn't mean they're tired
they
at the beginning.
And scored twice. Two of the four possessions the Packers scored, they scored under four minutes.
This is my last question. Were the Packers tired the first defensive series of the second
half?
No, they weren't 100%. But that doesn't rest your case.
Homer, I think the problem is that set the precedent for the rest of the second half. I think why everybody's so caught up with what you're saying, because I agree with you. The defense didn't play to the level that they should have in the second half, and we all want to know why. You called them pathetic. That was a pathetic.
The second half was embarrassing.
You said that defense was an embarrassing performance
in the second half. Was it up to standard?
No, was it embarrassing and pathetic? Absolutely not.
They still
ended up winning the football game.
Fine. Yeah, we all know what happened at the end of the game.
So the Bears went right down the field, and only a stupid play by the quarterback prevented the game from being tied. Ben Johnson
that would have
himself.
Been. Touchdown, field goal, touchdown in the second half.
But that is not what happened.
And it didn't happen not because of anything the Packers did. Nixon did make a decent play.
But you said did. He did make the play.
Only took place because
so you're not going to give credit to them.
I give him some, but we all saw the play and we know what happened.
Yeah, the quarterback messed up.
Hey, he had three other options, all that would have worked.
No, it wasn't three. Even Ben Johnson said, even by the time he threw the ball, DJ Moore was not available to be an option.
Hold on. You think he's going to bury his quarterback?
He did before,
the week before.
And Homer, I watched it. DJ Moore was not an option.
Okay, he still had the running back in the flat.
He had the running back, but his number one option, he threw it. It's just he's not a great quarterback, and he threw it too late. If he throws it earlier and he sets that
or
up.
Or he throws it deeper and in the corner,
it's a touchdown to Cole Kmet. Right. Cole Kmet was wide open because it was a blown coverage by Evan Williams.
And then it's a different conversation, but that's not the conversation.
Ain't what happened, Packers won.
No, that's correct. But that doesn't change what happened. They were lucky.
They were lucky because a quarterback that isn't great made a bad play.
Yeah,
that happens every week.
The head coach put it in his hands. Given the situation,
I would say it's less about the defense and more about Ben Johnson's decision making to put it in Caleb Williams' hands. They should have ran with Manunga.
They ran the ball.
They should have ran on third and fourth and one, even after getting stopped on third.
Aaron Barry made a great play and forced their hand to make a decision that they want to run.
Yeah,
or pass,
the difference was Ben Johnson didn't fully appreciate how tired the Packer defense was over there to just run.
Yeah, he didn't make a good decision based off the game flow. I actually completely agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
Homer agree on that. In 2 minutes, Rain Man.